Harihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavilyankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so now is when the Pandavas have been invited for the match and everything, and now they're getting ready to go. The party left the following day. With the Brahmins walking before him, Yudhishthira proceeded on a golden chariot, followed by his brothers. Attired in royal robes and golden ornaments, they entered Dhritarashtra's palace, where they were greeted by the king and his sons, along with Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Kripa, and the other kings who Dhritarashtra had invited. Right, so Dhritarashtra, because from his side, he's trying to present it as a friendly match. And, you know, which is technically not the case. It's not a friendly match. It's that Duryodhana wants to take everything that the Pandavas have, and more if possible, right? You know, but he's just so envious, he can't tolerate that they have anything, right? He sees them as enemies, even though they're not. And therefore, if they're prospering, then he feels bad because then his enemies, and then that means then there'll be problems for him. But he's actually creating the whole environment himself. So this is, again, we see is why it was mentioned he'll be the destruction of the dynasty because of this attitude. If you just peacefully, you know, as his father recommended, you have enough stuff, you can't even enjoy everything you have. It's more than you can enjoy. Just be satisfied with that, and then Yudhishthira is doing his thing, and he won't, but he can't. He just can't. So because of that, he actually creates the war. That's the fun part. If he just peacefully went on there, he would have lived his life, been happy, the Pandavas would have done theirs, and of course, then there wouldn't be Mahabharata, and people would be talking about it today. You know. So we see Krishna has a plan. They were shown to beautiful furnished rooms where they settled for the evening. Right, because now they also want to show opulence and all that because they saw Yudhishthira, so Duryodhana wants to show opulence. They have opulence, but they just want to show more. After going through their daily physical exercises and their religious rites, they were offered the best of food. Dancers and singers entertained them as they ate. Then, after Brahmins had blessed them, they retired for the night. Right, because then in the evening, That's generally is that you have your meal, you have some kind of fine arts and all that, you know, just to relax the mind, take it off of the day's activities, and then one can peacefully rest. Then in the morning you'll be fresh, then you're ready to, you know, for the kings then to go to court and manage the kingdom and everything like that. The women from Indraprastha entered the ladies' quarters. All of Dhritarashtra's daughters-in-law were filled with envy to see their beauty and prosperity. So, like husbands, their wives are the same. Is that their prosperity and their beauty and everything, partly, yes, because of their wealth and that, so they can wear nicer stuff, but it's more than that. Beauty is more than, you know, the saying is beauty's more than skin deep. It's a matter of the attitude you have, the, you know, for these queens and all that, then there's going to be that feminine attitude and all that, just that purity of it, that focus of it, that being satisfied in that position. And so then that's the power, that's the beauty, that's the attractiveness that's there. Then on top of that, you put very nice clothes and ornaments and all that, then it becomes even more special. You know, it's just like you have a very nice, let's say, meal, and it's good on its own. That's the meal is the real thing. But then if you put it on a very fancy plate, it just adds to it. It just makes it. So people think, oh, it's so fancy because of the plate. No, the food makes the plate look better.
So therefore, good character and qualities make the external appearance better, like that. You know, that comes from Krishna, because his beauty, he makes the ornaments more beautiful, because he himself, being the Supreme Personality, you know, all the qualities, all the attractive, everything's in him, so he makes everything else look attractive. After exchanging greetings with the court of a woman, Draupadi and the other Pandava queens rested for the night on ivory beds covered with soft mattress and spread with pure white silk. Right, so this, the idea of the white sheets and all that, that purity and all these things, that's just the standard thing. Nowadays people still, you know, use it, but it's the standard tradition. In the morning, the Pandavas were brought to the new assembly hall amid the sound of drums and other instruments. They took their places on jeweled seats covered with costly rugs. The hall was crowded with kings from many provinces, with Dhritarashtra sitting at their head. Duryodhana and Shakuni sat opposite the Pandavas, both smiling, right? Because they know they're going to cheat them and take everything they have. When Yudhishthir was settled, the assembly became silent, and Shakuni said, "We have all been waiting for you, O Emperor. The hall is full, and we are eager to play dice." Right, means they are eager, he's not. And, you know, he called him emperor because that's there. He's showing his respect. Shakuni is a very clever person, very, very diplomatic. So he's going to say all the right things to get done, accomplish what he wants to get done. So in other words, he uses rhetoric to his advantage. It's not that there's something of importance to be gained. It's just using the rhetoric to get done what he wants. So whatever you say, that will accomplish your means. That's what he'll say. So he doesn't really have any particular standards. It's just winning is the only thing. Yudhishthir answered, "There's no prowess to be found in deceitful dice playing. Indeed, it is bereft of morality. Why then do you wish us to play?" Right? So he's now bringing up, Yudhishthir is bringing up religion. And he's bringing up the higher elements, is that there's, you know, it's deceitful play. Why is it deceitful? Because one is, you don't know what's going to happen, you know, and so therefore it's just you having money or gaining money or losing money is just at the roll of a dice. That's not really proper. Point is you get money because you work, right? You do your work, you get the results. You do bad, you lose. So, you know, why is it you roll the dice and it's pious enough to get you money, or you roll the dice and it's sinful enough you lose money? It's deceitful. It's not actually, you unnecessarily think that you're able to gain something or you'll lose something that actually has no proper work. It's not according to the proper laws of karma. So that's why gambling is considered, you know, in that way, just generally deceitful. Then on top of that, you put Shakuni, that point will come up, that he's a professional gambler. That means whatever number he wants to come up, that number will come. And then on top of that, you know, being a professional dancer, gambler, they just practice enough that they know what the numbers are in their hands. Because if you put the numbers in your hands and you move them around a bit, no one's going to worry about it, right? Because you can move one of the dice, move the other dice, get it to where you want on your hand. Then you know when you throw it at that certain speed and force, they'll roll and get the number you want. So you have that aspect. It's just you do that enough, and then you can do that. You know, it's like sleight of hand, like that. It's a very common thing that done whenever they do gambling and that with dice. It's always there's something wrong with it. Then you have on top of that that the dice that he has are the bones of his grandfather, and that they've been. You could say empowered. They're basically, you could say, magical dice. That on their own, I mean, he does practice and he is a professional, but at the same time, as then you have those dice, it's guaranteed whatever number he calls, that's 100% going to come. It's not even a 99%. No, it's 100%. So you just put the principle itself as bad, even if neither of them know what they're doing. Then you throw on top of it professionals. Shakuni raised his eyebrows. It's kind of like, what? You know, so shocked, as if, oh, what are you talking about, you know? We do not wish to be deceitful. We do not wish to be. We will be. You know, because wishing is, I would like to be deceitful. No, I am deceitful, right? But all this is hidden. That's why he's saying, oh, we don't wish to be deceitful. Yudhishthira, it is simply a friendly match. You'll see as it goes, it's not friendly at all. Its 100% purpose is simply to insult the Pandavas, make them feel bad, take everything away from them, and insult them in front of the world. Because Duryodhana, he made a mistake, and in front of his brothers, you make a mistake, brothers just laugh it off. But because they laugh, that he considers them enemies, it's the greatest insult to them. Even though it was just him and Shakuni, no one else saw. Right? Means outside of the Pandavas and their people, their servants and their wives and Krishna and his wife. Other than that, no one saw, no other kings, nothing. So no one knows about it. Right? We know about it because it's been documented. But the other kings don't know. But he has to make sure that they get insulted in front of all these kings. You know, hundreds of kings have been invited. He wants to see them insulted in front of them. You see, is that a little bit of offense to him, and he has to reciprocate. You know, it's like 1 to 1,000, you know, or something like that. Then he'll think that's fair. He thinks he's being fair. That's the problem with Duryodhana. So Duryodhana, you can say, is the epitome of someone who has bad character. Now, as far as knowledge and skills go for doing his duty as a Kshatriya, then he has that very nicely. He's been trained by the best. We never hear any complaints about how Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra manage the kingdom. No one's complaining about the management. Because they're trained. They do it nicely. So his knowledge and skills are great. So, you know, by contemporary considerations, you know, he's a professional. He's very good. But we see by his character, he destroys everything. So that's why in the Vedic, the character is the important. Yudhishthira's praised for his character. You never hear anybody talk about the skills or even see. But he's the emperor of the world. He's running it. So that means he knows what he's doing. Not a problem at all. It's not that he's, you know, complaining, oh, this is such hard work. You know, before we were just kings. Now we have an emperor. No. It's fine for him. So we see in the Mahabharata, it'll talk about technical things, but mostly it's culture. And those things within the performance of duties that are important. In other words, they attain the goal. Let's say we're talking about just on the material platform, that your goal is the proper performance of pious activities, that you therefore get the benefits for that. So therefore, then the things to do to gain that are going to be the proper pious activities. Right? And then those, so that will be, you know, their proper management, their giving in charity, respecting the Brahmins, respecting the elders, you know, taking care of everybody. All the things like we saw previously, Narad Muni asked so many questions on how it's going nicely. And so all those things, those all explain how a king should run. That's not technique. Then there's technique of how you give in charity, how you respect the Brahmin, you know, what are the timings, all those things like that. So a lot of times, that third level, which basically you don't hear talked about much here, because that's in other shastras, it's already explained. Artha Shastra, other places will explain. It's talked about what are the activities and character that you have that by performing your duties that you already know in that way, then you will gain your result you want. Right? But that's the problem with the modern perspective. They're not really looking at the character and all that and what the ultimate goal is. They're simply looking at, I want particular results like money and facility for sense gratification, and therefore these are the techniques that I go about getting it. They don't understand is that artha comes from dharma. So that's why you see is people get money and then it's lost. Very few keep. Those ones that slowly move up and just keep going and are stable in that, you'll generally see if you see them, They have more regulated lives, they're more careful about their money, they have better character and everything like that. And the other guys that make it big and then, you know, today they're this and then next day they're like this and over here and there, because they don't have that character, they don't have that focus. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we see throughout here, even the opening of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, he's worried about respecting the elders, maintaining the society, the purity of the society, the smooth functioning of society. That's his whole background, but from the material point of view. He's not looking at the spiritual side. And then we see in the first chapter also then Duryodhana, he just wants to win. And he's using all these politics as, you are favorable to the Pandavas, so that means you're not going to fight properly for us. So that means you're not actually going to be able to perform your Kshatriya duties properly. And so then, you know, what will the world say is Bhishma didn't perform his duties properly. He couldn't care less about Dharma, Duryodhana. He only deals with Dharma in as much as it will get him the benefit he wants. So by using niti like that, he uses that to manipulate Dharma to get what he wants. He doesn't actually follow Dharma and then get the results like Yudhishthira does. They just follow Dharma. They have nothing. Then suddenly now they have, you know, their wife, they have allies with Drupad and with Krishna and everybody. Then after that, then now they have their half of the kingdom. Then after that, then he does the Rajasui, he's the emperor of the world. All they have been doing the whole time is just their duties, just their pious activities. They haven't been endeavoring for any of that. But Duryodhana the whole time has been endeavoring for that. And what he has is there. It's not getting any more, really. It's not, you know, he performs his duties nicely, so that. But his whole focus is just on the gain. And the gain isn't even the artha of the Dharma, which is the longest term, artha, which is, you know, good, short term. It's niti, it's immediate. He wants the money now. He's not willing to, like his father, we'll also do sacrifices, we'll also do everything nicely. And by that, you'll also gain. But that'll take him a few years. No, he wants it yesterday. So you see, it's just, you know, his character is just not good. So he's saying, oh, it is simply a friendly match. We can fix the stakes so that no one is injured. Do they do that? No. They never fix the stakes so that no one's injured. They try to injure him as much as possible. That's the only purpose of this match. It's not something else. It's not fixed the stakes. It's not friendly, right? Because what are all these other kings there for? They don't need them. But they're trying to make it that it's a big show. It's just a net. But why would so many kings come for a gambling match between brothers? Right? In fact, they would just say, you know, come and, you know, we built a new hall. Come and spend some time. We spent time at your place. Now spend time at ours. While they're there, you can say, you know, let's play some games. Then in it, oh, hey, let's do some gambling. Like that, no, it's specifically a hall for gambling, invited for gambling, invited all these kings for gambling, but it's just a friendly match, right? You know, so we see as Dhritarashtra is trying to present it that way, but Duryodhana doesn't care at all. And Shakuni, he's just there to create as much trouble as he can. That's his only purpose. He has no other purpose than how much trouble he can make. That's his whole purpose. Because the more trouble there is, the more it'll be bad for Duryodhana. And the worse it is for Duryodhana, the sooner he, all his brothers, everything connected to him is destroyed. So Shakuni has his own purpose that he's doing. So it's material, it's mundane, like that. So therefore, by the mundane platform, they go well together, like that. So he's interested in immediate prosperity, and immediate prosperity always will give ruination. So Shakuni is there to help him get that immediate gratification so that he'll be destroyed. The sooner he gets it, the sooner he'll be destroyed. Like that. So, like that. So you see, Shakuni is, he's saying all these, you know, terrible things, right? The great Rishi Devala has instructed me that one should not engage in playing with a professional gamester, Yudhishthira replied. So he's heard from Devala Muni. When they were living in the forest and all that, and, you know, they would come visit them, they would tell them, don't do that. So that's the thing. He's been instructed, Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, by all these great sages, because they used to live with them for the first so many years of their lives. They lived in the Himalayas with the sages. Yudhishthira replied, my dear Shakuni, do not try to take from me the wealth with which I wish to serve the Brahmanas. Right? So that's his purpose in money. He has so much money, that means he can give so much to the Brahmins. He has less, he can give less. He has more, he can give more. It's not that, oh, I have more, I'll enjoy more. That's Duryodhana. I have more, it's more prestigious, I can enjoy more, I have more power, I have more influence. He never mentions giving charity to the Brahmin. Never mentions respecting his seniors and all that. He just doesn't, unless he thinks it's a trick to get what he wants. Even enemies should not be vanquished by desperate stakes and deceitful play. Right? Even those you're against, you shouldn't use it against. So they're enemies by Duryodhana, but it shouldn't be used this way. And I have no desire to win more wealth by gambling. He has enough. So why should I play with you? The point is this, I have enough, I don't need. You know, maybe you guys are desperate and like that, but I don't need. Shakuni laughed, right? He always has to throw it off and like that. He's like a real politician. Oh, king, obviously one plays a dice to win something, right? You know, it means, he says, obviously because they want to win something. He doesn't want to win. He doesn't want to play. He's saying the whole time, we shouldn't be playing. It's against the rules. We should not be playing. It means Kshatriyas can gamble if there's the challenge and all that. But what he's saying is that Shastra doesn't recommend it. It's always going to be a problem. So it's not recommended. You know, therefore, I don't want to play. It's against, you know, it's not religious in this context. And I don't need more wealth. I have enough. And what I have, I want to use for the Brahmins. So I have no need to play. You know, but he says, obviously one plays at dice to win something. That means his side is doing that. Right? It means Yudhishthira's not. So all these, he throws them out there to make it look like what they're doing is really nice. If you are afraid of me, or if you feel I have dishonest motives, then do not play. They'll throw it out. Oh, if you're afraid of me. It's kind of like, but you're a professional gambler. You're not supposed to do that. So it's saying you're a professional gambler, then he just switches it. This is a diplomacy, right? So here it's more obvious to see because the words are more straight. He just, you talk about one thing, he shifts it to another. He doesn't talk about what you talk. He doesn't say and how it's deceived. He'll just say, oh, no, but how? Why are you saying, what is this? It's just a friendly match. Why are you saying it's deceived? It's just a friendly match. And then just to remove, that's where we're saying it's just rhetoric. They're just trying to win the argument. And so then from this, we see that, you know, and also if you're afraid of me, because Kshatriyas, you know, it's like, oh, if you're afraid, no, it's not that. You know, or if you feel I have dishonest motives, then you have to say he's dishonest and then he can be insulted and that itself can create a fight. So if you gamble, it'll create a fight. If you don't gamble, they'll create a fight. So the whole point about it from top to bottom, it's just a problem. Yudhishthira looked up at the Kuru elders, right? He's presented his case. Shakuni's couldn't care less about what his presentation. He tries to just make the match happen. So Yudhishthira's mentioned. Now, therefore, he's discussed. Now he turns to the elders, right? Because the elders are the ones that give direction. They're the young people like that. But Dhritarashtra is the king. Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, like this, Kripa. They're the seniors here, right? You also have Somadatta. You have Bahulika. Like they're in the grandfather. They're on the level like Bhishma as far as generation. Yudhishthira looked up at the Kuru elders. They were all sitting silently, right? And in the Vedic thing, silence, that means agreement. Even if you don't, but if you don't say something, then you're agreeing. Both Bhishma and Vidura sat with their heads down, so you know something's wrong here. After Vidura, Bhishma had also tried unsuccessfully to dissuade the king from allowing the match. And he had attended it reluctantly. Dhritarashtra sat on his splendid throne, listening carefully to the discussion. You know, because his thing is, oh, there's going to be a match. Because his son wants, he has attachment to his son, so you want the best for your son. And so he thinks it'll just somehow or another go very nicely, and they'll win everything, and everything will work out very pleasantly and peacefully and all that. You know, that's the illusion that he's under. He doesn't understand that if you take everything away from the Pandavas, and all of that, then as it is now, is they don't really like the Kurus, but they're their cousins, are going to deal properly and respectfully, and not going to give them any trouble. But now if they deceitfully take away everything, and you'll see in the process, every time that they do, they have to poke and prod and make insults to just make them feel bad. They cheat them and then make them feel bad. Right? Like that. They never, and in all cases, they think that they're being proper and religious and doing their duties and everything like that. They're very, very, you know, just the illusion is so heavy that they can't see. It means religion becomes irreligion, irreligion becomes irreligion, and they think they're doing their duties. So Dhritarashtra is sitting, he's thinking, you know, how is it going? This sounds like very interesting and all this and that. So he's not actually understanding the weight of what's happening. Bhishma and Vidura, they know. That's why they have their heads down. They tried to dissuade the king, but nothing happened. Yudhishthira said, "O Shakuni, when challenged, I never refuse," because that's the Kshatriya code. But his point is that he's challenged. But he's trying to point out it's an illawful challenge. It's not. He's not. Technically, he's not in the position to challenge because he doesn't have the wealth. He doesn't have anything like that. And he's a professional gambler, so it's not even the right thing like that. Why not, okay, if you want to have it that, you know, everybody in their, you know, field of that, why not Yudhishthira and Shakuni, you know, have a you know, sword fight or something? You know, like that. No, it has to be, it's yeah. "This is my vow. Fate is all powerful. We are under the sway of destiny, and whatever is ordained will surely come to pass. With whom shall I play in this assembly? Who can stake equally with me?" So up to this point, he's not thinking Shakuni is the one, you know, he doesn't want to play with him because that. So his point, having said all this, then he now takes Shakuni out of the discussion by pointing out that he's not in a position to gamble with him because he doesn't have the wealth that he has. So they're not equals at all. So there's no question of Shakuni gambling with Yudhishthira. Like that. They're not equals. You have to have equals, right? It means, you know, if you're putting in, you know, $10, the other person has to put in $10. Not that you put in $10 and they put in 10 paisa. It doesn't work like that. You know, it has to be equal. Yudhishthira knew that Shakuni, although more skilled at the game, could not match his wealth and was thus not a suitable opponent for him, right? So that's why then he said, so then who is? So it'll be, you know, who else is there? And he's an enthusiast in playing with the dice. And someone else will be like that, and it'll be, you know, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But Shakuni, he's professional, you know, he'll always win. But Duryodhana said quickly, "I shall supply gems, gold, and other wealth. Let Shakuni cast the dice on my behalf." You know, I'll do all that, but let him on my behalf. So then, okay, where's the professional gambler to throw on Yudhishthira's behalf? So you see, it's not at all friendly. Yudhishthira raised his eyebrows. It was exactly as he had feared, right? So he had feared that this is what it's about. But, you know, everything's come nice, everyone's dealt nice and all that, they've had their discussion, but now it's confirmed. Obvious this was no friendly match. It's just not a friendly match. He raised his objections in a firm voice. "I have never heard that one man plays while another stakes, Duryodhana. This is not within the rules of the game. This is just not proper. Unless it's, okay, two guys, they both have their professionals, and so the professionals play and they do the stakes. That will also work. But you can't have two equals that aren't good at dice and one of them has a professional play on his behalf. That's not. Yudhishthira again looked at the elders, right? So he before, whether we even have the game, now when we see the game's bogus, now he turns again to the elders. But none of them spoke. Duryodhana laughed, right? Because now it's all this. Duryodhana and Yudhishthira's tried so many ways to try to adjust it and get it, you know, made normalized. But now we see, you know, we see just how Shakuni, you know, he's diplomatic, but like that, it's a little edgy. But Duryodhana laughed and repeated that Yudhishthira was afraid, then he need not play. Yeah, but if he had said then, you know, okay, then we won't play. Then they'll say, oh, you're afraid, oh, he's a coward. You're the emperor of the world and you're a coward. They'll just use that and just make them feel. They're bullies, that's all. They're bullies, like at school. Guys with no brains that are big and strong and they just harass everybody else, you know. So that's the difficulty. Shakuni smiled and rolled the dice in his hands. The sounds of the dice striking together rose above the silence in the hall. Because you have these dice, and the Vedic dice are long. They're quite long. You know, they have square. You know, you can have the six sides, right? However, the six sides, but they're long. So they don't roll, you know, in any direction. They roll on the sides. So when you have two of those and you have them in your hand and you roll them like this, and especially those are the bones of this grandfather, so the sound that they make is so loud that it just everything in the hall. Because so when he plays dice, everybody has to listen and watch. You know, it is the center of attention. Seeing Dhritarashtra's complicity, Yudhishthira said, "If it is your desire, Duryodhana, then let the play begin." Right. So Dhritarashtra is not saying anything. He's not giving any direction or any support. So then Yudhishthira says, because as he said before, it's in destiny. Somehow or another, there's something happening in destiny, in the karma. Because destiny is the situation. And so you do your duty, so therefore he can't do his duty in establishing the religious process there, but he can follow his duty in that he as a king has been challenged, he can follow the challenge. So he's still following Dharma. While Duryodhana and his party are simply using the rules of Dharma, because Yudhishthira will follow them to get done their work, which is not even artha, it's niti. Niti is just the basic ethics that you just get something done. Like, let's say, Machiavelli. That's just niti. You know, you don't look at further than the immediate. Like that. Okay. So then, next time we'll see then how the gambling match unfolds, how it develops. So now they're ready to begin. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.